Yeah.
One of these will have to.
Right, of course.
And one has a second.
Okay. Yeah, no, I know.
Okay, we're getting started here, everybody. I appreciate everyone's attendance. It's a short night. Our chairman is out on medical, and Debbie Geary is out somewhere. So we're glad that we have a quorum. So the first item would be roll call.
Commissioner Anderson. Commissioner.
Excused.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Here.
Commissioner Sinapa.
Here.
Commissioner Geary.
Excused.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
Supervisor Perez.
We're not sure. Okay, thank you. Okay, first item would be approval of summary proceedings from last month. And I've looked at mine. It looks kind of a short meeting, but it looked pretty good to me. So
I'll make a motion receiving comments.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Thank you. Let's see, on the consent agenda, there isn't anything. Public presentations. Oh, by the way, any cell phones, PDAs, whatever, please put them on silent. It used to be a problem. It's not so much a problem anymore. I just don't want it to be a problem. On public presentations, this portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers are, of course, limited to 2 minutes. First row. Yeah?
Here I am. Susan Richardson, 933.
Good. Good to dance. We can all hear you. There you go. It's a big room.
Come on, you can hear me. Don't be laughing there. Susan Richardson, 93306. And I'm back again to talk about the ringworm issue, okay? We have, what, a population of probably 900,000 in this county, or close to it, if not?
Greater big. Yeah, the county for sure.
County, yeah. Okay. I cannot be the only one in this county that will take a dog that has ringworm and treat it, okay?
No.
So, again, I'm back to say we need to start, or you guys need to start, talk to your respective supervisors, figure out what kind of resources the county needs to help them deal with that, because here's my concern. You have, what, a little more than a year or so for the goal to be no kill curves?
We have a year and 9 months or 8 months.
Okay, so if something's not in place by then, because to me, a dog having ringworm is not acceptable in the 10%, because it's an otherwise healthy dog. So I'm going to harp on this.
I want you to.
And I would really like people to either contact the county and maybe put their name on a list so that they have other options or other people to call occasionally. Because again, while I don't mind, sometimes it's going to depend, you know, because I foster for different rescues and I foster for I foster for the county and I foster for the city. Sometimes it depends.
Okay,
my own dogs. But it, so it depends how many I have at one time. You know, I know my limit, what I can handle.
Yeah.
But it's not a difficult process to treat them.
Okay.
Really, it's not.
Okay, I think we'll take that out.
So I really think people need to start having a discussion. I don't know, but Nick, the supervisors, yeah, you forgot.
Mm-hmm.
The supervisors.
I noticed that too.
The board of supervisors, I don't know what kind of funding they need to come up with, but something needs to be done.
Thank you very much.
All right? So,
thank you.
And I challenge you all to take a dog. Put your name on the list when you tell me.
Okay.
To take your dog to have a ringworm treated.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Michelle?
Yeah, I'll say something.
Okay.
Michelle Vallejos, 93311. I don't know. I mean, I know you know. But this came up The ringworm issue came about because there was a dog that Susan had brought in, and it did get euthanized because it had ringworm, and that was its reason. But what she failed to mention right now is, I don't think you guys know that she just had a ringworm dog, and it went in for its checkup, and it passed. So having it be in her house and treating the ringworm dog, and now it's back and available to be adopted, did not get euthanized because our little friend Susan here was advocating for that situation.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, little friend. Okay. Next row? Anybody? Let's see, I forgot to mention, who's from BC here tonight? Raise your hand. Raise your hands higher. Are you first time here?
Yes.
Okay, well, welcome.
Thank
you. So you get to make a comment. You don't want to?
No.
Okay. Anybody on table three that wants to make a comment? No? All right, then we'll move on to, and Danny, you didn't have anything. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. All right, that closes out public presentations. We'll move right along here tonight. Staff announcements or reports. Director Coleman.
Good evening, everybody. Nick Cohen, Director of Kern County Animal Services. I'll be up here for a little bit longer than usual. Blake Smith is not here. He had to go home sick, so I will handle spay-neuter funds update. I also wanted to chat a bit about the collaboration with the cat people at Hart Park. Just kind of give everybody an update on what's going on and the success and failure that we've had out there. It was supposed to be a separate agenda item, but forgot to put it on the agenda, so I'm just going to squeeze it into the director's report. First and foremost, we'll go over the director's monthly report. We saw a total of 188 animals placed with rescue partners. Harold was asking me, what is a rescue? So rescues are federal nonprofit 501c3 agencies that are partnered with the county of Kern when they take animals out of the shelter for no charge. Our foster care program saw 107 animals enter foster care. We currently, at the time of this printing, have 170 animals in foster care, including the ones that our friend Susan Richardson was saved. In 2013, we implemented our TNR program. Through March of 2019, 8,489 cats have been picked through TNR. month of March, so 389 animals go to private party adoption. 1,102 total animals have been adopted year to date, or this year so far, past year. Six cats adopted from Petco locations. The only other thing I did want to touch on is our big call for service in the field. 1,288 total calls for service in the field. Northeast was the leader, 352 calls for service. $18 returned to their owners in the field by animal control officers in the month of March. $115 was secured on property in the month of March by officers as well. Is there any questions about the director's report?
Does that include the statistics? That's all part of it. Commissioners first.
Not regarding the month of March.
Okay. There was a discussion last week that I instigated on Petco. We're down to one facility on Gosford, and the manager there, her name is Cassandra. She's really a ball of fire. She's really good. She's can-do. And because of not having enough volunteers, we weren't able to make the visits out there to bring animals on a regular basis. And so we did some last week. I think some were delivered either yesterday or today, I forget which. And they've already placed three in 1 week. So that's a great thing. That's a really good thing. And the reason I bring that up is because I'm looking at outcomes most of the time. That's really where I'm spending most of my energy. I did notice that the intakes on cats are down 142 over this time last year, and dogs are down a whopping 339. That's a lot of dogs to be down. So that's a good thing to have your intakes less. On the euthanasia for the dogs, it's down 9%, but on cats, it went up. It went up by 17. Went from 148 to 165, and so that part doesn't please anybody about it going higher than last year. We're trying to get it down. So I know the department's well aware of trying to keep Petco in the routine. I did talk to her again today. She said she's still got two more cubbies for cats. She says, by the way, Olive, we talked about, is back, doing better, and there's another one that she's had there for a bit. It's making really good progress, but she wants two more, if you can do it. So she's, like I said, she's a can-do kind of person, and she's really wants to be helpful to the animals and to be helpful to the county. So she's a really good manager. She's been there for a year and a half, and I guess my closing comment on Petco is, I was going to the store in Rosedale, and they had like a revolving door with managers. It's like, first it was our friend Brett, and then it was, I forget the guy's name, and then they don't really have anybody at this point. Cassandra's been there for a year and a half, and so I thought, well, if you're supporting us with the adoptions, because we don't have that facility on Rosedale anymore, if someone else has got it. But if Gosford Rose is supporting us by opening up the adoption to us, I'm going to support them by buying my food and supplies from Gosford is the way I decided to do it. So she's a really nice lady. If anybody goes in there, identify yourself. Say, hey, I went to a county meeting. I heard about you. And by the way, I guess, and Sally knows about this, but she gave me a list of a bunch of adoption events coming up, two in May, two in June, one in July. And these are incentivized also adoptions. Like if they run like 25 dogs through there, the county gets another $25 per animal on top, you know, as a bonus. If they run 50, it's another $50, or something like that. So anyway, I'm really happy about our relationship with Petco. Going back to the numbers, everything else looks pretty steady, Nick. So I have no further questions. Thank you. On that. And you're going to.
Is there any questions from the public?
Okay, I'm sorry. Any questions? Okay, Terry.
Hi. I was just wondering, I know that, you know, February is usually like kitten, February, March. I'm wondering if we're seeing a high influx of kittens at the cat house.
Cat house?
If you have a cat house.
Nursery? It hasn't been opened yet.
Oh, okay.
The end of this month.
The 29th.
Okay. Do you have a great need for it right now? Are we seeing a lot of little kitties?
There's always a need for volunteers for our nursery. There's always a need for foster parents for our nursery. There's always a need for foster parents for ringworm dogs. But there's tons of healthy dogs and cats that I also need foster for. So yes, there's a need. We haven't been hit with a deluge of cats, not anything more than should be expected for the time of year. But you know, by the time we open the nursery, I'm sure it'll be busy.
Okay.
Any other questions in the back row? To our director? Okay. If there's no more questions, I need a motion to receive and file this report.
I'll make a motion to receive and file.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion to second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No? Thank you very much. Okay, thank you.
So, can I just go, counsel?
Can you go what?
Continue?
Yeah.
With the ordinance subcommittee?
No, I wasn't. If you want to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
That's what I thought. Just a few more things. So I had a really good meeting. Sally and I both had a really good meeting. Some of you may know her, Jackie Staver. She runs Bakersfield Positive Connections. And man, if you all know people that want to volunteer and make a difference in our community and they're looking for a way to do it, interested in saving animals' lives, Bakersfield Positive Connections is a really good organization. They have a program where it's called the Fix-It Crew. And they are just grassroots, just try to get together and help out animal owners that are in need. And they have a different approach, you know, they're trying to educate the public and they're trying to help where resources are needed. I have some flyers at the table if anybody knows of anybody that wants to volunteer their time to help out. Like I said, it's called Bakersfield Positive Connections, specifically the Fix-It Crew. They are literally, they get requests on Facebook for people that are in need, that need fencing or just leashes or harnesses or food or whatever the case may be.
and Positive Connections will respond and usually send a crew out there and help out in any way they can. So just wanted to give them a plug. If I could just talk about Park Park. So in August of 2018, Animal Services began working with the cat people. Carol is one of my favorites with the cat people. Cat Carol right there. To provide spay and neuter the cats that were calling Park Park their home. Over the course of several months, 10 to 15 cats were altered, with the cat people volunteers providing trapping and transport back and forth. Towards the end of the 2018 calendar year, it became known that the county would be investing in Hart Park by making some significant upgrades and taking some beautification measures. The fact that the buildings that some of the cats were using as shelter were to be renovated or completely taken down, it just highlighted a need, but a long time need, for a humane solution to the growing number of cats at Hart Park. We know kind of all that contributes to the problem at Hart Park. The plan initially was to work collaboratively with the cat people just to bring in all of the cats to the shelter, find live outcomes for all of them, except when they came to us, they were immediately suffering. Since August of last year, a total of 130 cats have been removed from Hart Park, if not all, close to all, by the cat people and their volunteers.
Excellent.
Brought into county shelters, and there is a report that was at that back table that'll show you outcomes for cats at Hart Park. Just to touch on a few of those, there's 10 on hand, although I was just told that there's 9 on hand now, because one got adopted, but 55 cats from Hart Park got adopted. That's private party adoptions. Those are friendly cats. I only bring that up because there's friendly cats out at Hart Park. You know, if we can continue to do what we've been doing and bring them to us so that we can find live outcomes, take the pressure off the cat people, and try to fix the problem. You'll see it says 10 have been TNR'd. That was early on when we were working with the cat people just to assist in spay and neuter. So we were fixing him, giving him to the cat people, and the cat people were returning him to the park. 44 cats have made their way to nonprofit rescues. The majority of that, if not all of them, are probably from Meowco, which is a local feline rescue. One was returned to owner, and I think I said it before, that one that was returned to owner was a cat that came to us from Hart Park that a person said she had been missing for quite some time, and she had assumed that her neighbor had trapped it and brought it to Hart Park. So that's how we got that one back home. Eight of those cats were humanely euthanized. Two had died either at the shelter or before they got to the shelter. So that's a total of 130 outcomes. It's 92% of the cats that have come to us in that time period since cat people and the county have been working together. The ultimate goal is to remove and find placement for every last cat at Hart Park. Whether that is a reasonable goal does not apply. That is the goal. Not only do we, but the county understands that trapping cats is not the easiest thing to do. You know, just put down a trap and a cat goes in it, especially if it's the one that you want to go in. So sometimes I have to do some tap dancing and explain to the county people and powers that be that there's gonna be cats there even after your construction is done. There's gonna have to be some maintenance of those cats. So they understand that now. So when we have talked about in the past where the county was wanting us to remove as many cats as we can by June, the question was, well, what do we do after that? What we do after that is we continue to maintain the cats that are out there and continue to try to trap and bring them to us, but they're gonna be there. So I just wanna make sure that I had gotten some questions where it was almost as if somebody thought we were gonna hit a button and then all the cats were gonna disappear. Obviously it's gonna happen. Several issues need to be kept in mind. Any concentrated effort includes putting a stop to new cats being introduced into Hart Park in the first place. That is involving the county and a media push to publicize not only that it's illegal to dump a cat out there, but that there's an erroneous belief that they're going to live some wonderful life living in Hart Park. It's not the case most of the time. There's been cameras that either have been installed or are being installed so that people are going to be monitored while they're there. For the safety of the remaining cats, all feeding of the cats must be done at the recently installed feeding stations. Volunteers with the cat people should be the only folks that are feeding cats at Hart Park. I know that is not the case. There's people that take it upon themselves to dump food all over the park. But when we do that, we're defeating the purpose of feeding stations. Feeding stations is so that the cats know centrally where to go to get their resources. We're dumping food all over the place and then feeds that whole purpose. Much of our capacity to take cats at the county shelter is based upon the success of our barn cat program. We recently, the county administrative office created some nifty flyers, and we're going to go out and deliver them to feed stores and veterinarians and large agricultural businesses to try and promote the barn cat program so that we can still cycle cats too, because Carol and her volunteers, they can't bring us cats until we're empty, or at least we have space for barn cats. So as the barn cats leave, I can take new ones from our park. So, and thankfully, that program has been picking up a little bit. It is certainly understood that every single cat living at Hart Park is not going to be able to be trapped in place. Unfortunately, catching cats that don't want to be caught is no easy task. So it's understood that there will be cats living out at Hart Park for a period of time until, assuming new cats have ceased to be introduced, cats live out their lives and the population dwindles naturally. Kern County will be, installing cameras throughout the park to identify individuals attempting to abandon an animal, and are currently disseminating barn cat flyers to feed stores, vet clinics, pet stores, and industrial buildings. Additionally, a media push reminding the public that it is very much illegal to abandon an animal is being developed. How you can help, help dispel the myth that cats are better off living in Hart Park rather than being relinquished to a shelter. If you're motivated to feed the remaining Hart Park cats, please do so as a volunteer of the cat people. Spread the word about the barn cat program and its potential to provide natural rodent control through feral cat maintenance. So that's just, I wanted to recap everybody on what is happening out at Hart Park, the efforts that the cat people have made, the county is trying to make, and just to let everybody know that there's no sort of solution that's going to happen after June to get rid of all remaining cats at Hart Park. They will have to be there. Our project, our heavy lifting part of it, is stopping cats from being introduced to the park in the first place. Which, like trapping cats, is easier said than done. Any questions about the Hart Park cats?
I've got a couple. I'm sorry, Carol, go ahead.
I'm a volunteer with Cat People, working with the cats out at the park. And I can't say enough good things about what Animal Services has done with, in terms of finding positive outcomes for the cats, really. We've been taking in all the friendly cats that we can lay our hands on, you know, for adoption. But the biggest problem is the continual dumping of cats at the park. And it seems like it's even worse this year than last year. Almost every day, we're seeing new cats out there. And we know that they're new cats because we go out there all the time. And we know the regulars. The six feeding stations, we were feeding at 30 places out in the park, and now we're feeding at six. And we're still trying to coax some of the cats have been in their same locations out there for a number of years. And so we're doing everything we can to, you know, to get those cats to go to the places where they're supposed to eat.
Doesn't help when there's people feeding all over. It doesn't help when there's people feeding all over the park.
No. And that's a problem too, but it seems to have gotten a little better. There were some places where people were feeding on a regular basis, and we're not seeing quite so much of that, but we're still seeing food, you know, other places around the park. The biggest concern that we have is for the feral cats that are out there. And we can only remove the feral cats when there's openings in the barn cat program. So that's critical to getting the feral cats out of the park. We can trap feral cats fairly easily. Maybe not always the ones we want, but we've got, you know, the barn cat program really has got to get off the ground and be successful in order for us to really take care of the feral cats out there. They put up a number of nice signs out there telling people that it's illegal to abandon an animal, punishable by jail sentence and a fine. And there needs to be a big media push, you know, about dumping animals anywhere, not just at the park, but anywhere around town. And that's the biggest problem that we face. Most of the, we've gotten all of the, I would say, all of the friendly cats that have been at the park for a while, the friendly cats we're taking in now are the newly dumped ones that have been somebody's pet and taken out to the park. Cameras, I think, would help. I know there's cameras out there right now, but I've been told that they're not operable. So that would, you know, if we could catch some of the dumpers and maybe kind of make an example of them, I think that might be, you know, a helpful thing in terms of publicity. So anyway, we're all doing the best we can.
And just for a point of reference, Carol and her people, the volunteers, have estimated somewhere between 50 and 100 cats remaining out at the park. So the job that they have done to not only care for those cats for 25 years, which they've been doing for 25 years, more than that actually, and the job that their volunteers and Carol herself have been trapping those cats and bringing them to us and hoping and praying for positive outcomes. I mean, I can't say enough about what Carol and...
We don't get paid.
No, we don't.
Okay, I want to put questions to the commissioners first.
Actually, can I make a comment real quick? Carol, could you state your last name for the record?
Oh, Carol Lair, L-A-I-R.
Thank you.
I'm the coordinator for cat people for the cats out at the park, as best they can be coordinated.
Okay, thank you. So the by these numbers, the majority of cats that you're picking up are adoptable. They have been to date, but the majority of the cats that have come in have been friendly, but those because those are the ones that are easiest to get.
To catch, right. As far as the euthanized, is there any common reason as to why they have been euthanized? Is it just poor health?
All 8 cats that were euthanized on intake, so I didn't read the medical notes on them, but what that usually means is that they were suffering or something upon presentation to the shelter.
No.
I don't know what they were specifically, but it could be a number of things. That's it.
I just want to say it sounds like you guys are doing a great job of getting it under control for someone else.
Don't look at me, and Carol. And
yeah, absolutely.
They're doing heavy lifting.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Carol.
I've got a couple questions on this bar graph. This is the first one I've seen for Harbor Park. Over what period of time are we talking?
August.
I'm sorry?
August?
Well, this is August.
August until now.
Up from August till now?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, to March 31. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, as far as positive outcomes, 84% is what my numbers show that as far as live outcomes, you've done a great job. 84% is excellent. So, and you've got 10 on hand still, so that's good. You know, it's been an ongoing problem at Hart Park, and I was going to ask either you or Carol, like over the last 5 years, do you see it getting worse? Do you see it getting any better? I mean, it seems like we're taking a bigger interest in it now, and you're doing some things, trying to bring them into the shelter. Do you think are we improving any out there?
So it depends who you talk to. I'll speak for Carol. That
okay.
The cat people and Carol are saying the problem is getting worse.
Okay, that's what you said.
But it's tough to, it's a park. It's logistically almost impossible to determine how many cats there are exactly. But, you know, according to the cat people and their volunteers, the problem is exacerbated. The problem at Hart Park isn't necessarily that there's cats at Hart Park. The problem is that there continues to be new cats brought to Hart Park. Like, there's colonies. It's a thing. Feral cat colonies. But the problem is that people keep introducing new cats to the colonies, and it's not good. It's getting out of control. On top of that, the county is renovating the park. So when they're renovating the park, if you've ever been out there, there's buildings, like actual wood buildings, where the cats call home, and they live in those buildings, some of them. So you can imagine tearing those buildings down to renovate or just get rid of them is going to displace the cats, and that construction was supposed to begin in June. So we knew as of, December of last year, maybe, that this was going to happen. And we want to try to get as many of them out of there as we can before that construction starts, because we don't want them to freak out and not know where they are. So that's the reason why other than the humane handling of the cats in the first place, but that's why we're doing something and trying to help the cat people fix the situation. But to be honest with you, we've had these discussions for the past 4 or 5 years about how we get a handle on the growing population in our parks.
It does. You know, I think it's great. I mean, it's positive. What we see here is all positive, so that's good. Okay.
I had a question in regards to the cameras. If they're not operable, if they become operable, realistically, how is that going to be enforced? As far as, are they going to be able to actually identify a vehicle, a person, or whatever, and who's going to enforce going after if they see somebody jumping an animal?
So I don't know. We didn't buy the cameras. I don't know what model they are. I don't know how they're being installed or how they're networked. It's the general services and the park rangers. Park rangers will handle the enforcement. I mean, with our assist, if it happens, I don't know the quality of the cameras and whether they'd be able to zoom in close enough. We've had discussions about we would need to read a license plate to see a description of the person, and they seem comfortable that those cameras would be able to do that. But, you know, I can't answer too much because I wasn't involved in the selection of the cameras or where they're going to be put.
Right.
Yeah.
So initial enforcement is going to be park rangers.
I won't have access to the video. Like, I don't have, so I wouldn't be able to enforce. The way I would understand it is
right.
The park rangers manage the park and all the laws that might be broken. They're law enforcement. Park rangers are law enforcement.
Right.
So if they had a situation where they had a video of somebody jumping a cat, they could either enforce the law themselves, or what we've talked about is they can call us and we'll assist on some sort of criminal pursuit. But again, that all hinges on, you know, the quality of the camera and the system. But, I mean, a lot of it is hoping it's a deterrent. Yeah, so hope for the best and prepare for the worst.
Yeah.
Second row, any questions on Hart Park? Third row, Annie.
I had a couple questions. So far, according to the bar graph, 130 cats have been removed from the park?
Since August.
And the estimate for cats remaining is 50 to 100?
I'd say closer to 100.
Okay, so let's say 100. So at the starting point, there was approximately 230 cats at Hart Park. Is that fair to say? Once, as this process continues, what do you think will be the new normal as far as the amount of cats at Hart Park? Obviously, there are new cats still being introduced, that will also be, you know, rescued and stuff like that, but will the number, you know, move from an average of 230 down to 100 or 50 or less or any sort of idea?
Well, the goal kind of that the county has, General Services has for the park, is to try and reduce the population down to about 60.
60.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
But the biggest problem is the newly introduced cats and pregnant cats out there having kittens that we can't get,
right.
We can't bring in to be fixed.
Yep.
So.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Anybody else in the back row with a question? Well, I'm glad to see we're doing TNR out there. We've been a whole 10 animals, but you know they're not easy to trap, I'm sure. So.
Well, we're not allowed to do TNR anymore.
Not allowed what?
I say we're not allowed to do TNR anymore.
You're not?
No.
Uh-huh.
Through the county.
Through the county.
Yes.
Are you saying we can do TNR if we pay for it? Is that what you're saying?
Well, the cat people has been trapping cats and fixing them every month now for about 20 years. So,
well, we have been using the county, though. For
those
TNR.
10 cats since August, yes.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is it, and it's my decision entirely, because the goal is to remove the cats from the park, not to put them back in the park.
Okay, but the goal is to reduce the number of cats at the park, too. And so those pregnant cats have you know, they have to get fixed, otherwise they're going to, you know, they can have 2 to 3 litters a year.
Yeah, I understand that.
So if we TNR them and pay for it, that's okay?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, like I said, you guys have been doing that for a very long time.
Okay.
Obviously, we learned something tonight. That's good.
I have one more question. So when a cat is unable to be adopted, I mean, the old process would be you would basically run TNR, fix the cat, and would you used to reintroduce them to the park after fixing them? If they were not able to be adopted, if they were like feral.
So before August, really, we didn't have any cats coming in from our park.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't until we had actually, I think it was an NKNK meeting, and I talked to Barbara, and she said she's overwhelmed. And I don't want to speak for Barbara, but you know, the resources are limited for a nonprofit, and the population keeps growing, and they're spending money on spay and neuter, and it's not fixing the problem because the population keeps growing. And the captain, Barbara Hayes, who runs, what is her title? She's the executive director of the captain. Well, she had other areas that she wanted to be able to help the community too, and the Hart Park cats are really costing the cat people a lot of their resources.
All right.
So that's when we started to say, well, maybe the county, maybe we can help out in some way, shape, or form. And she said, the only thing we really need help in is the cost of the spay and neuter. So rather than around August, they started trapping cats and bringing it to us, we would fix them, give them back, and then they'd return to the park. Then around December is when we started talking about, okay, the county's going to be doing some upgrades at the park, and those cats are going to be displaced, so we need to find a solution here soon.
So with the 9 cats that are on hand, are all of them adoptable?
No.
No. Okay. Or is that why they're on hand?
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And actually, Carol and I were just talking beforehand, and she had brought in, I think 7 cats, like maybe 2 weeks ago, and we just placed 1 yesterday, and I think there's another one slated for surgery, so those barn cats move slow.
Oh, okay.
That's why if you know anybody who can use barn cats.
So that's what you're doing with the cats that are not adoptable, and you're finding other areas where you can release them on private property to help with rodent control.
Just the barn cat, that's our only option. So okay. The barn cat program, for those of you who don't know, very simple. Instead, if you have a business, if you have a farm, if you have a piece of property that has rodents, rats, mice, instead of paying a pest control company or putting down poison, get a feral cat, and the feral cats will maintain the rodents in the area. Your only obligation is that you have to provide care for them. So you have to put out food, put out water, and someplace for them to get out of the elements. So, and it's been pretty successful. I think we started, I'm going to just guess, maybe a year and a half ago, and we probably placed maybe 100 cats through barn cats. So those are 100 cats that would have otherwise been euthanized. And they're working. That's what they call them, working cats. So a lot of what, like I said, a lot of what we can do at Hart Park hinges, like Carol said, on our barn cat program, finding a release valve for some of the feral cats. Because like I said, the goal is to get them all out of there with a live outcome.
Right. I was just curious too, are they still having an issue with dogs out there?
Sporadically, nowhere near the issue with
right. Like
cats, but
yeah.
Not that I know of. I mean, I haven't heard anything since late last year or yeah, late last week. I'm looking at Danny.
Actually, there were some out there this year.
Yeah. But I haven't heard anything
captured
since then.
And they got sent off to rescue. But I don't think the dogs are near so bad as the cats.
You have any other questions on the park?
I like that, you know, I was going to have you mention, you know, what barn cat was to the people that were new, and it's just another piece of the puzzle being innovative with our animals, you know?
You can call it innovative, or you can still call it theft. We just stole the idea from somebody else.
Well, you stole the fair and square. That's okay. So, good for you. I have no further questions on that. Now, I'm ready to move on to item number 2, which is the ordinance change subcommittee. And you were at the meeting today.
Correct. So the subcommittee, nothing of substance came out of nothing of complete substance came out of today's meeting. There was a few issues that were brought up last month that we were hoping we'd get resolved today and we'd be able to take a vote. We had 3 members of the subcommittee that were absent, so it made it difficult to have a vote on anything. Yeah. Plus, there's some more information that we're expecting to come back next month.
so we can all make a little bit more informed decision on where we want to go.
Carol, before you run off, I wanted to tell you that I want to commend the CATS people for their years, decades of tireless work. I mean, that's really what it takes to get the job done. So I want to thank you before you slipped out.
Oh, well, thank you. We appreciate that.
Okay, I didn't mean to cut you off, Nick, but... So it says there's really nothing to receive and file, though, on this one, right? There's no report or anything.
That's correct.
Okay, so we'll just skip that part. Okay, you're doing Blake's. I'm going to move on to item three then. Unless there's any questions on the subcommittee, Michelle, nobody. All right, then we're going to move on to item number three then. Span Neuter Funds update, and you're Blake tonight, right?
I'm filling in for Blake.
Sorry.
So Span Neuter Funds update, so far to date, the county, $250,000 has provided for the spay and neuter of 2,700 total animals. There's approximately, I think, $41,000 in change left in the spay and neuter funding, plus another $30,000 in the trust fund. So that's where we are with spay and neuter.
When does it have to be used up by? What's the end of our fiscal year, June 30th? Is that the way it works?
Yeah, June 30th is the end of the fiscal year.
Does it use it or lose it?
No. I mean, you don't have to worry about us not using it.
Okay, that's a good thing. I want to make sure. Hey, leave money on the table.
No, all of that money will be expended by the end of the year. We're on pace, on target to expend it all.
Okay. Any questions by the commissioners on the expanded program?
No.
Okay. I'm going to help.
Wait.
Any questions from the public first on this? Any questions from anybody? No one? You guys are quiet tonight. I know Janice is not here, but I'm trying to make it as lively as I can. Okay. No questions from Danny's room? Back room, okay.
Any
motion?
I'll move to receive the file.
Okay.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Thank you. Carried. Commissioners, announcements, or reports? Thank you, Nick. Basically, it's on their own initiative. Commissioners may make an announcement or a report on their own activities. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff, or take action to have staff place on a matter of business on a future agenda. Does anybody have any commissioner announcements? I'll start with my left.
Not really an announcement, just I was wondering, and I know this will be in the April report next month, but how many animals were adopted at the mega adoption event?
All of them.
Do we have a number?
I'll throw that one to Sally.
I do, but I don't remember off the top of my head. I can get back to you in like 2 minutes.
I believe the county placed 22 total animals.
I think we have almost everything that you brought.
Yeah, I think there was just maybe three or four dogs.
Two dogs back, yeah. Yeah.
So we placed 22. I'm not quite sure about all the other organizations. It wasn't as many animals as we thought there would be for adoption. We were hoping that some of the agencies would bring more, because that's always the problem that we have, is that there's not enough dogs for the demand. But then again, for any animal welfare organization, municipal or otherwise, it's not that simple just to get animals spayed, neutered, and ready and bring them out to a show. It's
right.
A lot more complicated than it may sound.
Thank you. Oh, the second thing, you already mentioned it, but we have Bakersfield College students here tonight. Are you folks from Stephen Holmes class? No? Okay, it's a different class.
There's your
including
a tour.
We had another political science class that filled up our whole meeting. So yeah. I was just checking in. But thank you for coming out. We appreciate it.
We had like 15 last month. That was quite a few.
Commissioner Sinapa, just to answer your question, it was 69 total animals that got adopted.
69.
Yeah,
counting everybody?
Yeah, including a tortoise.
Including a tortoise. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Wow.
Great work.
I'll tell you what, I was at the mega adoption event. I thought it was great. It was outside. It wasn't too warm. We just kind of went from 10 to 10. But everybody, I mean, as I was driving up, I saw all kinds of people walking dogs out. I mean, it was like amazing. So it was well attended. You know, I'm not sure how it compared with last year, but it was still a lot of activity. And free admission for parking, which made it nice for the people that want to come out. So good job on the dunk tank. Some of us got to dunk a few people. Yeah, Michelle did. I think I did.
Do we have a date for next year already?
We don't. We're working with the fairgrounds to secure a date for next year.
Thank you.
I thought it was a great event. All positive energy when you have something like that. Everybody gets to come together and compare notes. And oh, by the way, I didn't know this. When I was talking to Cassandra, I didn't. You probably know, but they had a tent out there from Petco. I didn't know it.
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm.
That was kind of hovering around the dunk tank so much. I didn't really know it.
We're gonna have a dunk tank at all future events.
I think we ought to have exactly. I thought it was good.
Good.
I was glad to see Lisa out there. She was out there in the morning. I don't think I would have done it in the morning. That would have been pretty cold.
You need to get one of those supervisors to volunteer for the dunk tank.
I like that.
You need to get one of the commissioners to volunteer for the dunk tank.
How about them Dodgers? Anyway, okay. My only comment, did you have anything here?
No.
Okay. I'm overdue for a ride-along, and any of the commissioners can do a ride-along, and they just got to set up in advance. Who would I talk to? Because normally Jason Smith is the guy I like to go out with, but should I talk to Sally, or who would I schedule that with?
You could email either Sally or myself.
Okay. Yeah, because it's been a long time. It was before they even had the screens, you know, the computer terminals in the trucks. And before, it was a mess. You'd get a phone call, you'd have to pull over, write everything down, put his coordinates into his phone to find out where he's going. And this, you know, the equipment they have in today's world is really neat and speeding up the calls. And by the looks of all the calls here, especially in the Northeast, it's a tremendous amount of phone calls. So whatever it takes to expedite, like the Northeast 352 calls, that's a lot of calls. So anyway, I'm going to be doing one probably next month, just to kind of get caught up and see what reality really is out there for you guys. I mean, you think you know it, but until you really do a ride-along, you really don't know what you think you know. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of pieces of the puzzle. Okay. Yes?
I just remember, I want to make a comment. You said something about the calls. It triggered my memory.
Yeah.
Every time, I want to really commend, I don't know who the dispatchers are, but every time I call in, usually about a deceased animal most of the time, always friendly, always professional, very nice. And since I'm driving in a lot of common areas, I mean, probably, if not 100% of the time, close to 100% of the time, those animals have been picked up within a day. I hear a lot of other people claim, oh, this, still this, that, and they don't call them and they take forever. Well, I will tell you, my own personal experience is they have responded very quickly.
That's better than the BPD, I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
It really is. It's like next day, whatever,
so
maybe 2 days.
I do appreciate that they pick them up.
Okay, thanks for the input. Okay, well, actually, we're just about finished. Old business, it says staff referrals, none. And new business, is there going to be a committee meeting next month?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it on the same day as ours?
May 15th, I believe.
No, my calendar. Yeah, you're right, okay. All right. So, our next meeting here is going to be Wednesday, May 15th at 6 o'clock. And the subcommittee meets at what time? 4 or 3? 3 p.m.? Okay. Never been to one of their meetings. I'd like to go sometime. Okay, so we have... Gotta have what?
Can you have three commissioners at the subcommittee?
I don't think. Well, I don't know. I don't think so.
Can we get you up to the podium? I'm sorry, but it won't show up on the recording.
Okay, let me get up there.
That would be, I think, breaking the Brown Act rules.
Yes, you can only have two commissioners.
Two would be the max.
Yeah,
Terry Kahn. It just bothered me when you said that you want to be a committee meeting, because I'd love to see you at a committee meeting, but you have to make sure that one of the other commissioners, either Ms. Anderson or Mr. Snopper, are not going to be there.
Yeah, good point.
Okay, that was
good point. Okay. Good job on the on that committee, though. I heard nothing but good things. So I'm looking for a motion for adjournment.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, we'll see you next month. Thanks for everybody attending. Good meeting.
For next month's agenda, under the...